Hello there, Eager as a Beaver listeners, and welcome to Keyframe from the Geek Show Podcast Network. This is a show all about animation, anime, and everything cartoony. I'm Tucky, and today I'm joined by Mark and Rob.
Hello.
Hello.
Work on your high energy entrances. Just go, hello!
Hello!
I refuse.
Not like stampy hello. Hello!
Hello!
And today we're joined by the extraordinary League of Gentlemen.
Yes.
The manager says it's Sean Connery, just on the side.
The thing that always got me about Papa Lazaru was how the hell did they manage to get away with blackface in this day and age?
Well, that's this day and age. That was that day and age. Well, like when it was acceptable,
ago, wasn't it?
It wasn't that long ago, and political correctness was a thing then.
It was like late '90s, wasn't it?
Late '90s.
Yeah. Some of the special stuff.
Yes,
you don't have a mustache big enough for special stuff. Anyway, packets from the butchers.
Yes. Anyway, we are Keyframe. We're an animation show, not a show about League of Gentlemen.
Oh, can we have a show about League of Gentlemen?
We'll do one at some point. We'll do a special on the box episode. So
I call dibs on Dorian Gray.
Yes.
Because I'm sure there's a picture out there somewhere getting uglier.
You don't need a picture.
Or prettier.
Anyway. We've got things to talk about today. Do you want to go first, Mark, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I'll go first. So, yeah, the past few weeks, I've been watching Rage of Bahamut Genesis. Now, to most people, the only way they will know of this series is because they did a crossover with Yuri on Ice, and they think it's a Yuri on Ice thing.
I've seen Rage of Bahamut Genesis. It's got, like, magic and knights and dragons and stuff like that, yeah? How the hell does that crossover with Yuri on Ice?
Well, they just put all of the ice skaters in. Well, I think it was all of them. I think they just put the main three in sparkly robes.
Is this like Game of Thrones on ice or something like that?
Well, isn't Game of Thrones already on ice anyway, wouldn't it, this game?
Yeah, they just kind of did a crossover and they just put the Yuri on Ice characters in some cloaks and went, it's a crossover. Now all of these people who love Yuri on Ice can look at Rage of Bahamut. And it didn't work because nobody still went and watched Rage of Bahamut. They still went for the Yuri on Ice.
Yeah, but I'll bet the cloaks looked really swirly and really cool.
It did.
Everybody looks better in a cloak. Not a cape. But an actual cloak.
But yeah, this series, I was really impressed by it. It's a 12 episode series, I believe. I can't remember if it's 12 episodes or 13 episodes. Probably should have checked that just before. But it's kind of your whole world of demons and dragons and swords and magic and all of that jazz, which, yes, as you said, has nothing to do with Yuri on Ice. And the main character, who I'm going to mispronounce his name, Favreau Leoni, I believe it was, is a bounty hunter. And he's kind of like, I don't know why, he kind of reminded us of a mix between Kazuma from Konosuba and Usopp from One Piece. He's pretty competent, but he likes to tell his tall tales. He kind of tries to get out of doing things if it doesn't work for him. So he's kind of in this bar telling this tall tale about how he can do this and that, and he's went to this demon plane, and a young girl overhears him, and it turns out she is a demon, and she ends up wrangling him into marching her across the country in order to take her back home to, which is this demon plane. And that's kind of like the whole base of the series. As we go on, we meet more characters. We've got Kaiser Lidford, which is kind of like Favreau's best friend / arch enemy, where they're always kind of having a bit of a fight, but they're also kind of like got each other's backs when they need to. I can't remember what the girl was called. There was another girl who was started off as like a necromage and had revived this whole zombie town, and then she gets killed and comes back as a zombie, and she kind of helps them out. And there's this god who is also has a pet duck, and he kind of helps them out every now and again too. But I was really impressed by this series. I really enjoyed the world building in it. A lot of what it was, I mean, obviously they've got this whole thing going on with the Bahamut where they're trying to, some people are trying to revive it. Some of them are trying to stop the revival. That's all going in the background. But the first probably 6, 7, 8 episodes, they're just about Favreau and the Demon Girl, which kind of just going on this quest to take her home. And it's very, it kind of feels like a JRPG in which each episode, they're kind of just stumbling upon all of these different things. Like, obviously, we've got the town with the zombies on. There's like forests they have to traverse through. And it kind of really felt that they tried to make a game turn into an animation. And I know a lot of games do become animation, but they're kind of, a lot of the stuff, like the kind of skip is kind of like the stuff where they're just wandering in the forests and they're in a cave and stuff like that. But I really enjoyed how this series actually went through pretty much all of that and made the whole world kind of believable rather than just skipping all of the stuff that you kind of enjoy when you're playing a game. Okay. All of the characters are really fun. I really enjoyed all of them. Favreau, like I said, is probably the better one out of them. Just because obviously he's the main character and he goes from kind of trying to ditch the girl and do his own thing into obviously protecting her, which as you can expect from this kind of thing. Yeah, it was just a really fun series. I mean, it was fun how the kind of like, every now and again, they were kind of like, yeah, we've got no food, we've got no money, we need to go on bounty hunting quests and stuff like that. I'd say, like you said, the world building in the series, I felt was really good compared to a lot of other series where they're kind of just like, yeah, the town's over there, we'll walk to that in like the space of like 5 minutes in anime time. The only thing I didn't like about it is the way, because obviously I bought the special edition of this, is the way they've kind of portrayed it, and this was something that put one of my friends off buying this, is they kind of advertised it as a fan service anime.
Okay.
So the back of the box has got a half naked demon girl with a close up of her butt and a tail coming between her legs, and it's like, I watched it and I was like, I don't even remember that.
Is this like those trailers that they keep putting out for movies where they put cool stuff in the trailer but it's not actually in the movie?
Yeah, it's like I was just like there was nothing to do with that, and I kind of felt bad because they put that on the back of the box. My friend just went, oh, I'm not watching that. That's like a kind of fan service anime. And I watched it and I was just like, yeah, actually, there's none of that in there. It's just a really good like RPG thing about magic and angels and demons and all that stuff.
It's a really good fantasy series, yeah.
Yeah, it was like I said, honestly, it's one of the better ones I've watched. And I know there is a new series on at the moment. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I'm quite hyped to actually watch more of it because I really enjoyed the characters. I really enjoyed the setting.
Yeah, Virgin Soul is the new one, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's on Amazon Prime at the moment. So yeah, if you've got Amazon Prime, you're all sorted with that. Another thing I want to point out is I actually got the collector's edition of it because at that point, Anime Limited were doing a pretty good deal on it. And wow, the collector's edition is pretty nice. You've got the usual Blu-rays, your DVDs, but it actually comes with a pretty sizable book, which when you look at it, it kind of looks like an art book, but it's actually one of those, you know, those like flip books where you kind of used to flip them through and you used to get all of like the animation and the movement from them. You get one of them included with it. Yeah, it's a nice little extra. I mean, if you want to pay the extra few quid for the year, the book and all that, it's a nice extra, whether or not it's kind of like one of those art books where you kind of look at it once and you might not look at it again a few times, but yeah, definitely check it out. That's all I can say about it, really.
Fantastic. My turn, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, I had something that came in as a certain scientific railgun, but it's not a certain scientific railgun. It's actually a certain scientific railgun S, which is the sequel to a certain scientific railgun. A certain scientific railgun being a spin-off of a certain magical index. There's a lot of certains in there.
Right.
So, see if you can continue following me on this one. A Certain Magical Index came out, it was a big hit, everything like that. And then you had A Certain Scientific Railgun, which came out as a spin-off of it, but it wasn't based on the original light novel series of A Certain Magical Index. It was actually based on a spin-off manga, which wasn't done by the original author. The spin-off manga was by Kazuma Kamachi, with art by Motoi Fuyukawa. And that's all well and good, but it mainly focused where the original A Certain Magical Index series, or Index as I'll call it from now on because it's just easier. I'm going to call them Index and Railgun. It's just much easier like that. The original Index series focused on Toma Kamijo, who basically had, what was it? I think it was God's right hand or left hand, something like that. He could negate all of these Esper powers just by holding out his hand. He didn't have any other abilities. And all of the action takes place in Academy City, which is one of those weird, sprawling, metropolis-type schools. It's all one school. It's all one, but it's actually a town. It's actually a city, but it's all one school. And you think, wow, high schools in Japan really are taking over. I don't know why those are suddenly becoming a thing, but they are. They're all there. Mahara Academy, Strike the Blood had something like that as well. But a certain scientific railgun S. Now, this is the Blu-ray version, and this could literally be the further adventures of, how did they say it in the series? They didn't say Misaka Makoto. They said something like Misaka, something like that. They really, really butchered the pronunciation of the main character's name. And I'll be honest, listening to the English dub, I winced every time I heard the character's name. Misaka. Anyway, the series continues on from the first series. Everything takes place in Academy City, and it starts off with an episode that introduces Railgun to the world again, just in case you haven't seen the first series, which left me questioning why you would be watching this if you hadn't seen the first series. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it also introduces the other characters who form this little group of friends, and they're all happy and everything like that. And, you know, you have Misaka meeting up with Shirai Kuroko, who is her roommate and is also really, really into Misaka. That's how they say it. Misaka. That's it. I've got it right. Right. She's really into Misaka. She is so into Misaka, it's like, it goes a little bit beyond stalker, right? Basically, she's a pervert and a stalker, and, you know, gets turned on by Misaka and calls her Onesama in the Japanese dub, but calls her Sissy in the English dub for some reason, and just talking about it is making me want to punch somebody.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to leave that to one side, because that's just kind of creepy, that whole behavior. Anyway, so it goes on from the first episode, and it continues on with the further adventures of Misaka Mikoto in Academy City, being the railgun, everything like that. But unlike the first series, this is where this sequel kind of ties into the first Index series, because there is a crossover point. In the first Index series, there is a meeting between Misaka Makoto and Toma Kamijo, and that meeting basically forms the basis of their whole friendship, their whole relationship, because she does like him. You know, let's be honest, she does like him. She's being tsundere about it. So anyway, and that whole meeting culminates in a fight between Toma and a guy called Accelerator. Now, in Academy City, there are Espers, and Academy City is renowned for Espers. It's where all of the Espers go to train their powers, everything like that, and have different levels. And there are only a few level 5 Espers. And level 5 Espers are the most powerful Espers in Academy City. And Misaka is one of the level 5 Esper. She is the railgun. She is basically, she can use electricity to drive any object and turn herself into a living railgun. Usually she uses a coin, but she can do it with anything metallic, right? And she has like all sorts of electrical powers, stuff like that. Shirai Kuroko is a teleporter, and she works for kind of the security division of Academy City, which is called Judgment. And so you have this setup here. And you have unusual stuff going on in Academy City, as always, because it is a city. It does have an underbelly, it has a black market, it has criminal elements, blah, 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 blah. But this takes a much more serious tone than the first series. The first series had elements of, say, racism and the class system and stuff like that. And it looked at that sort of thing, and I thought that was an actual interesting way of doing things. This is a lot more straightforward, in that it ties in with the first Index series, with the whole Accelerator storyline. So Misaka finds out that there are thousands of clones of her who have some of her abilities, but generally they are her, and they're running around. They've got basic education, stuff like that. They're running around, getting into fights with Accelerator and being killed by Accelerator. And so far, there's around 10,000 clones have been killed. So Accelerator is basically a mass... he's basically committed genocide. But for some reason, he gets let off because this is all for science. This is all to push him to become the first level 6 Esper. And they're only clones, so they have no human rights. Hooray for Academy City! Way to be a bastion of education.
Clones aren't real people.
So anyway, Misaka, basically, she's not happy about the situation. She wants to stop it. She gets into a fight with Accelerator. Toma decides to help her out. He gets into a fight with Accelerator, and he's literally the only person who can punch Accelerator in the face, which shocks Accelerator. Obviously, eventually, Toma wins, with a little help from the Misaka network, because there are still hundreds of Misaka clones, running around Academy City, and they all connect to each other and form the Misaka network. So not only is Misaka now the railgun, she also has a bunch of her sisters who can tap into communication networks and stuff like that and relay information. She's got her own spy network now as well. And do you know the sad part? All of them like Toma. All of them seem to share the same emotions for Toma. So he's basically got a harem of hundreds, and they're all the same person, effectively. But anyway, leaving that to one side, Toma doesn't show up a lot in this series, except for the episodes involving Accelerator. It then moves on to other dark things that are going on. A lot of this series is about the abuse of science, and I actually like the fact that it focuses a little more on the abuse of science and just the kind of things that scientists are willing to do in order to fulfill their goals, just how much they can distance themselves from anything moral or ethical just because they have this ambition to do this or to be this or to win this award. It's a bit like, you remember What's-His-Face in Fullmetal Alchemist?
Sharo Tucker.
Hey?
Sharo Tucker.
Was it Tucker who did the alchemist who did the...
The Chimera. He transmuted his daughter and the dog.
Yeah. It's a bit like Tucker from Fullmetal Alchemist. And a lot of the scientists that you see in this series and in, indeed, the whole Index franchise, right? A lot of the scientists that you see are a bit like that. They're all a bit dumb and stupid and amoral rather than immoral. But that... I mean, this is basically, it's a feel-good series. Everyone kind of gets on. Everyone bands together to save the day. It is one of those shows. There is a disproportionate number of female characters in this series, because it was designed to appeal more to a female audience than to a male audience, which makes me wonder why Kuroko is in there in the first place. But I'm not going to go there, because she is creepy as hell. In terms of the animation, it's really good. The Blu-ray version of this is really, really good, right? I'm talking like top quality. Animation's good. The character designs they're basically the same from the first series, from Index, from the light novel illustrations, from the manga. There's no real change. There's nothing special. There are some interesting designs when it comes to things like Item and the mechs and some of the other things like that. If you watch the series, you'll know what Item is, by the way. So I'm only going to refer to it as that because that would be a spoiler. So anyway, there are elements of the character design that show creativity. There's some really good effects work, especially when Misaka is firing her railgun. There's some really cool action set pieces because they can do that with her having that skill set, with her having that power set, and with them having a teleport and stuff like that. They can do some really cool action set pieces that really work, you know? And now we come to the big bad thing, the bugbear, as always, which is the voice acting. Japanese dub beats the English dub, mainly because the English dub literally chews the names. Misaka, Misaka, Misaka. Seriously, I want to punch someone. Why did they never learn?
But yeah. Who was dubbing it?
I think it was Funimation.
Mm.
Yeah, it's Funimation who dubbed it. Brittany Karbowski plays the role of Misaka, and Brina Palencia plays Satin Ruko. Alison Victorin plays Kuroko Shirai, And Terami Lair plays Kazari Uehara.
Terami. Oh.
It's just my point as always with this is that I would really like the people in charge of ADR, in charge of the dub, to basically, I mean, these voice actors are professionals, and if you tell them to pronounce it in a certain way, they will, because that's their job. They are professionals, and they are...
Well, it's found by the director and scriptwriters, really.
That's what I mean. It's not the actor's fault. If the ADR director or the scriptwriter is not correcting them, it's not their fault. I don't blame the actors for this. You know, I don't blame the actors at all. They're doing a job, and they're basically doing the best they can. But if the people above them aren't giving them the correct instructions or aren't enacting any kind of quality control, they're basically doing their usual cat-handed, America first type thing. We'll pronounce it like this because obviously when it goes out, this will be the correct pronunciation, even though it's a name in a different language. Does that make sense?
It's kind of to be expected though, because when you are like the leading monopoly on like dubbing Japanese anime,
you become lazy.
Where's the quality control there? There's no need for quality control because people will take however you give it out because they're the only like source.
Yeah, I know. And that's the sad part. That is the sad thing. I hope you listen, Funimation. Get your finger out, you know, knuckle down, get the job done right. Because there are people who actually care about anime out there in the world, like us. You know, we care about the success of the industry. And we will keep buying your products if you put out quality products. But if the dub is as bad as this one, if the dub is bad, then we will call you out on it. This isn't a bad dub for the most part, right? It's just the names, the inability to pronounce the names, and they use their names a lot with each other because they're all school friends, right? Thankfully, it doesn't have that ultimate bugbear, which would make me want to break the discs in half. It doesn't have that at all. So that's good. There are no honorifics in English. That makes me happy. Just that final hurdle now, Funimation. Just practice pronouncing the names correctly. You have the Japanese dub, so you can actually do that. You don't need anyone to fly anyone over from Japan to say and ask them, how do you pronounce this name? You have the dub there. See how easy it is?
Well, going along with the sticking with the industry and that.
Yeah.
Just noticing the Kickstarter for Aria. Just to bring up the thing of, like, will we see more Kickstarters and, like, could we eventually see fan dubs become a thing? Like, say somebody buys the license for e-anime. It doesn't have to be like a spectacular like triple A rated series or however you grade them.
I know.
You know, what just I would something
buy.
Lowly. I and just say like, I want to give fans a chance.
I know what
Kickstarter this.
I know what I would buy. I know I've been talking over you, Tucky, but I know what I would buy. Straight away, I would buy the original OVA of All Purpose Cultural Cat Girl Nuku Nuku. I would revive the Scouse dub. Because people don't believe me that that was the thing, but there's enough evidence. If you look on the internet, you will find there are enough people who watch that version of it who know what I'm talking about with the Madame Akiko. But Madame Akiko will get into trouble.
The episodes are there, you know.
No, the ones that they're not. I've been looking for ages, and the ones that are online are not that dub. The original version of All Purpose Cultural Cat Girl, the original English dub, not American dub, the original English dub, you can't find for love or money. So that's what I would do straight away, is that one.
What would you kickstart, Tucky?
Oh, there's lots of things, lots of things. I've got none off the top of my head, because when I think about it, like, you know, things that are licensed now, and things that aren't licensed, and you've got to think that it's got to be a regional license as well.
Yeah.
So we could potentially be buying a license where it's already got like an English dub in the US.
Yeah.
But if we buy it for England, and it's silly money when you're buying an anime as well. Absolutely silly money going around.
Well, I mean, the thing that bugs me about this whole dubbing business is the redubbing. You know, if something has a good dub, Giant Robo, The Day the Earth Stood Still, had a magnificent English dub from the 90s when they actually cared. You know, when they actually put the effort in. Sorry, modern ADR industry, but them's the breaks, you know. That's the truth of it. But they had a magnificent dub, and then they redubbed it, and it was just, it just was not the same show.
Hmm. trying to think there. There's some things that would, like, I don't know.
Do you know what would be good with an English dub? With a proper English dub? There are some shows that I could literally rattle off straight away, which would be brilliant with a proper English dub. Black Butler.
I mean, Brainer was, was it Brainer?
Brainer
Palencia was,
she played the main character.
Yeah. And to be honest, Jay Michael's, Sebastian.
Yeah. I'm not talking about them two, to be honest. I'm talking about all the other characters.
Well,
J. Michael Tatum and Brina Palencia were great as the two main characters, but all of the other characters.
Sherry Lee was Elizabeth. Trying to think of who else there was. I don't know. I think they did okay, considering.
I don't know. I mean, with it being set in England, I'd like to hear more English accents.
I mean, going back to like Castlevania, the English accents they've got in that.
Yeah,
that's nailed down. That is absolute spot on.
Exactly.
But I'd have the. That's the thing. Because when you get out of the mindset of hearing all anime with the American voices, and you think, like, you know, wow, the world is that diverse, that there's so many accents, regional accents, nationalities and whatnot that you can cover. And to pick, like, the right voice for the character, it'd be easier than just, like, oh, let's have a talent audition in Texas. Well, or look at the same people.
Well, here's the thing. The English dub of the K-On! Movie, where they actually come to England and go to London. So you can have the normal characters played by whichever voice actors played their roles, right?
Yeah, by any of the side characters.
All of the other characters who are English should be voiced by English people or English accents because they're in London. I'm trying to remember. There are a few that I can think of that are in England. But it's not just England. I mean, you've got anime that's set in other countries. Michiko and Hachin is in a South Latin American country. What's the accent going to be like there?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. When like if I was to Kickstarter, I would actually put an open audition for people all around the world because there's a record. Everyone can have a recording studio in their house. And to be honest, the ADR direction, it's basically for someone to sit there and go do it again.
Yeah,
and I think in this day and age, you could just sit there. You send the material, like the clip that they're voicing with the script. They'll obviously have the script in front of them, and just say, like, you know, repeat it until you're happy with it.
Yeah, but
and then send me back everything, every take. And we have somebody sit there and listen to it for the best recording of it, and then like chop it, put it into the final product.
Yeah. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Because that's, yeah, the Phantom Blood one.
The very first.
Well, that's set in England.
Exactly. And Joseph Joestar is actually English. He's not American. So why is nobody English voicing him? I mean, we have some magnificent voice actors and actors in the UK.
All poor.
I mean, yeah, all poor. I mean, come on. All of us, obviously, all of us have done Shakespeare, Tucky. We've all done Shakespeare. Alas, poor Yorick. And all that jazz.
Wait, even the more like well known ones don't get to do much. I mean, you know, the day you look at like him who did Shulk from Xenoblade, what else has he done?
Exactly.
Nothing. I was trying to think of what I would actually get kickstarted in terms of dubs, but I don't think there's many that I've kind of like listened to where it's like literally been sub only. I'm sure there's some Gundam stuff or something in there.
I would love to see a Hitman Reborn reboot where they do the full manga series. I would love to see Kojiki no Gashbell reboot, because that series deserves far more love than it gets.
I'll tell you what didn't get a good dub, or at least it didn't get much of a dub. iShield 21.
Yes, and actually do a reboot of iShield 21, but do the full series.
Yeah, this one, I don't know. Again, it's one that everybody kind of knows, but, well, if you're over a certain age, but they didn't finish the series off and it kind of just disappeared.
I think making that a priority, you know, all those old shows that didn't actually get finished. I'm not sure about Oh My Goddess because it had two seasons and yes, the manga went on.
Very, very passionate fan base as well.
It has a very passionate fan base, but I'm not sure how it'd work out if you did a reboot because technically the two 24 episode series of Oh My Goddess are a reboot of the OVA from the 90s.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure what's kind of old now.
Revolutionary Girl Utena?
Oh, you rinse your mouth out, Tucky. You rinse your mouth out. You do not sully Utena with a reboot.
Well, it's one of the old classics, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why it doesn't need a reboot.
Well, no, you think about it. I think it aired like 1997, where 20 years later, you know, if the Incredible Hulk can be rebooted like 4 or 5 times, Spider-Man's been done 5 or 6 times.
All I'm saying is, my reaction to that should give you fair warning. If you do a Utena reboot, then you better be fucking careful, right? Because if you get it wrong, you can make a mess of Sailor Moon as much as you want. You can make a mess of literally any other show as much as you want, except Arya, okay? Don't touch Arya. Don't ever touch Arya. I'm warning you.
Touching Arya.
Arya the animation. You don't touch that series. But if you make a mess of Utena, you won't just have anime fans on your case, will you, Tucky?
No, you won't. Yeah, it was the groundbreaking gender bender anime, which was first widely accepted in the West, I know.
It was the first clarion call for the LGBTQ crowd in anime. The first kind of true clarion call.
They did it right as well.
Yeah, I know they did it right.
They did it right with it.
Yeah, and that's why I would say don't do a reboot of Utena, because if you get it wrong, you will literally be crucified. I'm not speaking about metaphor. They will find you. They will lynch you.
Oh, that's a lie. That's just slander. Everybody knows, because Crunchyroll and everybody online says so, Yuri on Ice did all of that first.
I read. Like Elsa was the first diverse princess.
Exactly.
Look at all the anime is still there. Legend of the Galactic Heroes, that was quite popular.
That's getting a reboot anyway.
Is it?
Yeah, that's getting a reboot.
And our Fist of the North Stars, that being redone?
That's had a couple of efforts, but nothing
more. That's fair. I mean, you get like the popular ones, which then become like live action movies.
Yeah, I mean, Fist of the North Star hasn't had anything modern. It's had some video games, but nothing anime wise. Sensei has obviously had modern versions, modern iterations.
Oh, that's getting proper CG treatment from Netflix.
It's had the proper CG treatment already. They did a Sensei movie.
Yeah, and I'm very, I don't know, worried and excited at the same time. A bit excited or exerried. I don't know how you do these like slash up name things.
I don't know.
Another interesting one, Kimba the White Lion.
That is an interesting one, but I don't think it'll get a reboot because Disney kind of beat everyone to it.
Yeah.
Circle of Life.
It'd be interesting, especially if you could use like proper South African like voice actors as well.
Yeah.
I think they should reboot Belladonna of Sadness.
No.
No. Well, right, I'll tell you what, let's start small. Let's just go for some unknown hentai. Let's redub La Blue Girl or something.
No.
And let's see where we're going from there, because everyone's got to start on hentai and then work the wheel.
What about Helsing? It's a tough call, isn't it?
It is. I think like Ninja Scrolls as well, but that'd be tricky.
Exactly.
But it's one of the things, because you've got to get the commercial side and like the side where people will actually throw money at you, even though you haven't done any work yet. Exactly. That's the trick to it. You've got to have the ardent fan base that would want it, but then you've also got to like think like, would it sell commercially afterwards as well?
I mean, it's like a Trigun reboot. You couldn't do a Trigun reboot.
Nah.
Yu Yu Hakusho. Reboot that.
Shaman King.
Shaman King. I'd say Yu Yu Hakusho before Shaman King. Yu Yu Hakusho. You know the modern shonen genre?
Yeah.
Right. All your Bleachers, all your Narutos, all your, even to a degree, all your Dragon Balls. A lot of them took their cues from Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
It's one of those that created the shonen genre in the first place. Along with the original Dragon Ball manga, not Dragon Ball Z.
I wonder if there's like a catalogue like where they've got all the studios club together and say, right, these are the stuff that aren't dubbed into English yet. Like, you know, pick one. And if they just go to like Crunchyroll or Funimation and go, there you go, take your pick and we'll stick any price that we feel like on it.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, I'd love to say it and I'd love to be able to haggle, but I mean, to dub an anime, I mean, you've hired the voice actors. You've got to have like a decent studio, decent sound and video editing equipment and software. I don't know. I think it might be cheaper in this day and age because, like I say, anyone can make a studio in their house.
Yep.
So maybe that's the evolution of anime, where fans actually get a hold of it and like start doing things rather than like Funimation and Crunchyroll having the whole monopoly on it all. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, because you'd have more people like Team Four Star coming out of the woodwork.
That's the thing, and this started just as a parody thing, and and Dragon Ball Abridged, in my opinion, is in places funnier than Dragon Ball.
Yeah, but Dragon Ball's not really funny. Like, I'll tell you, Shaman King, right? I'll be honest. Yeah. Shaman King, because Mark mentioned it, I am hesitant about Shaman King for one reason. The English dub is actually funnier than the Japanese dub.
Mm-hmm.
The English dub is 100 times funnier than the Japanese dub. And I don't know how they managed it, but when I watched Shaman King, okay, it's not the complete Shaman King story, so it could probably get a reboot because of that. But if they got the old, all the actors who were on the original Shaman King dub, got those back together and basically did the dub in the style of the original dub, then I think it could work.
Is it Four Kids who did Shaman King?
I think it's the only Four Kids dub that I actually like. And
it was back when, I think it was like Fox Kids.
Yeah.
When they had like, what was it, Monster Rancher or something like that?
Everybody slates Monster Rancher, but I liked Monster Rancher.
I like Monster Rancher. Can we reboot Metabots? I know it's still quite popular in Japan, but can we just reboot it just so we can get more stuff out?
No, because I hated Metabots.
That's why we can improve it.
Are you just going to start picking stuff that I hate for a reboot just so I have to watch the reboot?
You don't have to watch it.
You're going to make me watch it. They're going to kidnap me and put me in a room and force me to watch this stuff.
But Metabots was the only one where you could pull an arm off a robot and then whack them over the head with it.
No, you could do that to your toys as well. Only you'd break your toys.
I wonder who owns the license for some of this stuff. I'd love to be able to see how much like people had asked for.
Well, I mean, it depends. We've talked about titles that we would consider, if you're an anime fan, these are titles that maybe you should have watched or you should kind of prioritize watching. So stuff like Akira, Neon Genesis Evangelion, Cowboy Bebop.
Ghost in the Shell.
Hey?
All the
Cowboy Bebop, Ghost in the Shell, any Miyazaki or Ghibli movie, one of the Gundam series, Revolutionary Girl Utena, Princess Tutu, Escaflowne, Dominion Tank Police, Memories, Macross, watching one of the Macross series, Vampire Hunter D, you know, those obnoxious aliens, Urusei Yatsura, Giant Robo, any film by Satoshi Kon, you know, there's loads that you can list, you know, I'm not sure about most of them. I'd say there's only about, six, maybe seven anime that I would class as essentials in order to kind of, not to get so much to get into anime, but to kind of say, okay, yeah, I am a proper fan. Don't know what you guys think.
I mean, you see the same ones pop up over and over again. And obviously that pool seems to get diluted a little bit more as the years go on, because obviously more stuff comes out and more stuff is considered classics.
But
by different people, you know what I mean?
But the thing is, the core elements of those things, like your Cowboy Bebops, your Neon Genesis Evangelions, your Gundams, your Macross, and I'm not saying a particular Gundam series, I'm saying just a Gundam series. So if you have watched any of the, you know, Iron-Blooded Orphans, for example, that would qualify. Do you see what I mean? If you watched Macross Zero, which was only, I think, 4 or 5 episodes, that would qualify because you've watched the Macross series. So you've got a good idea. You know? Or if you watched the Macross Plus movie, that would be fine.
Yeah.
So I think those ones, I'd say, more so than any additions, I'd say those ones, you know, certain fundamental ones. And I'm not including stuff like Grave of the Fireflies or anything like that. I'd just say any Ghibli movie because it makes it nice and vague. It gives you the options. I don't like those ones where they say, no, you must watch this. You must have watched this particular thing.
You haven't watched Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood? You monster.
But I watched Full Metal Alchemist. But you didn't watch Brotherhood. But I like Full Metal Alchemist. You can't like Full Metal Alchemist because you haven't watched Brotherhood. I read the manga.
Classic anime you must watch.
Yeah.
Half of it hasn't been out for 5 years.
Yeah, no, you'll have lists and lists of them. But it does bring us back to the question: what would you reboot, or what would you redub? Sorry, not reboot. What would you redub? I think that was the question, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, out of anything really, because because anime now it's became a more direct mainstream market, and it used to be like a lot of, going back to like the early days where it's like fans used to do this.
Yeah.
The demand was there, but fans put themselves out there and sat in front of the VHS with a microphone and whatnot, and they did their own dubs.
I know, I have some of the cassettes.
And compared to those days, it's an absolute breeze now, but it's became, like I say, I'm not knocking progress. I'm not knocking the fact that Crunchyroll and Funimation are giving us an absolute bounty of choice. I mean, most of it good, some of it bad, some of it really bad. But I still feel like the independent part of anime, like especially like in the UK, because we get very little still in comparison to the rest of the world. And I think there is like scope there for the fan community to pull together. I mean, especially with Kickstarters and whatnot, where we could actually have a go at it. And someone out there could be crazy enough to say like, oh, well, there's this series, you know, it's not getting any attention, but it's an amazing series. You know, and give somebody else a shot at, like, you know, voicing it and whatnot.
Do you know what could do with a reboot? I've just suddenly thought a series that could do with a reboot. It has people will not remember this at all. I pretty much guarantee it. Even though Miyazaki was the director, or co-director, I should say, Future Boy Conan.
See, there's a lot out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a lot out there.
I love the pause before you said that, Tucky. Are you thinking?
I was just kind of sat there thinking, it was just like, yes, they could reboot Case Closed, Detective Conan.
Nope. Future Boy Conan was from 1978.
I love a different series. I was just like, yeah, that's one that we didn't get either.
Future Boy Conan, the thing is, the themes in Future Boy Conan are just as relevant now as they were then. It was basically two nations devastating war using magnetic weapons and all sorts of stuff like that, you know. Unlike Gundam Wing, where they're basically, where people are actively cheering terrorism.
Yeah. So it's 4chan.
Yeah, basically, Mobile Suit Gundam Wing, where the heroes are terrorists. Think about it. Hero is the terrorist, isn't he? He's been sent
to a lot of the Gundam series as well, isn't it?
Well, no, in some of the other shows, especially the original Mobile Suit Gundam, they're actually in a war already.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in Gundam Wing, there's nobody at war at that point in time.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've watched that one, so I couldn't remember.
Are your minds blown yet? I think I've just upset all the Gundam Wing fans, haven't I?
Oh, I'm gonna kill. We've already upset the Black Butler Yuri on Ice fans. We don't want to get rid of the Gundam Wing fans.
We haven't upset the Black Butler fans. The Black Butler
we
fans.
We only made a suggestion to make it slightly better.
Yeah, exactly. And we weren't talking about any of the main characters. We're talking about like the side characters to make it more believable that it's set in England. You know, just like in the K-On! Movie, they're in England, so make all the side characters English.
We know what they're like, though.
Black Butler is a little more highbrow than so I can't play H.
Everything's highbrow. You know when they say scrape the barrel, so I can't play H, it's under that scrape. It's literally lower than the law. It's not even out the barrel, it's under the barrel.
Yes, it is.
I don't even know what you're on about. I'm assuming this is some kind of like mild hentai thing.
What?
Mild? No, it's no. My God.
He doesn't know. He doesn't
know. I'm Googling it.
He wasn't there for me review.
Oh, no. It looks like High School DxD.
It's worse.
That's so much worse.
And it's not actually DxD, it's just DD, by the way.
Oh,
here we go with the Hunter Hunter explanation.
Yeah, it is the Hunter Hunter explanation thing. You don't pronounce the X.
But the X is there.
I don't know why they do that. Anyway, we kind of got lost in this episode has kind of turned into a car crash for the second half, but just go with it. It's fine.
I think we should leave all of that in.
We are. Yeah. Have a Coke and a smile. It's all good. It's all gravy.
There's nothing more exciting than weebs getting excited over other weebs finding weeb stuff.
Exactly.
Just wait next episode. It's like, so we're kickstarting.
So this time we're kickstarting. We're redubbing tugs.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's end this show, shall we? Keyframe is part of the Geek Show Podcast Network, and all of our shows are available on Audio Boom, iTunes, and various other podcast service providers. If you are listening through one of those, then subscribe. It'll keep you up to date with all of our latest shows. Please support the Geek Show Podcast Network on Patreon. You'll find the link on our website or in the links on Audio Boom and iTunes and places in the description. We've got loads of new stuff coming out. The Geek Show is actually on hiatus, but we'll be back in the first week of October, all new, all shiny, all different. So do look out for it. We'll be back next week with more animated goodness. Until then, I have been Rob.
I've been Mark.
I've been Tucky.
We'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Did you say redub tugs?
You've got to redub tugs.
The tugboat thing.
We are not redubbing tugs.
Oh, well, if we're going for tugs, I want for Budgie the little helicopter.
Oh, my God, yes.